Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney from the Herzog Law Firm. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty getting Jay Murray on the line, but she'll be joining us fairly quickly.
We hope so.
And we're here for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. Jay Murray and I are going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. And you could be our very first caller if you want to give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. I guess it's just you and I, Ben.
Yeah, I guess it is. So, we'll talk about all the stuff that we need to talk about. I'll put the callers on the line, and you'll be brilliant as usual.
I'll be brilliant as usual.
Yeah, see? It all works out.
You know, it's one of those things that we were talking about earlier. Ben had asked how things are going, if people are, you know, in a hurry to get their estate planning documents or if they're kind of just waiting around. And it's interesting because we have a different mix. There's a lot of people that want to get their documents done now, and that's totally something that we can do. We have some people that are just kind of, we'll put this off until we can meet with you in person, because we are doing remote sessions with people on the phone, and we're also doing them, we're meeting with people over the phone, and then we are executing the documents either in Albany. Dave is doing them in the parking lot, which is kind of interesting. And in Saratoga, we're doing them in the entryway. It's one of those things. I mean, you've got to kind of bob and weave and deal with what's going on as far as the changes in the laws and in the changes of the situation. And we're hoping that by May 1st, we'll be able to open our doors and have everybody come in and do whatever they need to do as far as their documents go. And there have been some changes during all this time when everybody's been focused on the pandemic. There's actually been changes to the Medicaid laws that are going to come into effect in October for community Medicaid. So what we're trying to do is, rather than doing, you know, our seminars that we usually do at hotels and having people come in and have coffee and cookies and being able to ask questions, we're going to be doing webinars. So starting the week of April 20th, so April 20th through the 24th, we're going to be doing webinars. And I'm trying to see what the dates are. So on the 20th, we're going to do wills versus trust. On the 21st, we're going to do one on community Medicaid and the changes, which are very, very important. Anyone that is kind of on the fence as far as whether they're going to try to get their loved one on community Medicaid or not really needs to give us a call, because there's lots of changes come down the road in October. We want to make sure that everyone is able to get the help that they need. April 22nd, we have our regular seminar, and April 23rd, estate planning MIPS. That one's always kind of fun. So what we can do is we can do those via a Zoom meeting. Everybody knows what Zoom is now, where it's really cool. You can be face-to-face. You can hear the person. You can see the person. And what we can also do is it can be interactive. So on the Zoom meeting, you can type in a question while the person is presenting. And it's interesting because then you can, it's like interactive. Even though the person is doing a presentation, they can still interact with the audience. So we're going to be posting those on our website and also posting them on Facebook and LinkedIn. But if you want to give the office a call, then we'll be able to set you up on that. And if you'd like to be our next caller, the phone number is 518-476-5900, 518-476-5900. And while we're still waiting for Jay Murray to get on the line, perhaps we can ask Kim if she'll pick up the phone, because she and I actually happened to be in the Saratoga office at the same time, but we're social distancing.
I was just going to say, are you social distancing? Because that's really important.
We are. We are definitely social distancing. So I was going to see if Kim, can you pick up the line, Kim? Kim?
Good morning.
There we go. So,
how are you, Ben?
I'm good, Kim. How are you?
Good. Good morning to all of our listeners as well. This is a little bit of a unplanned surprise.
Yeah, it's very odd, but, you know, we'll go with it. And, Kim, can you tell us a little bit of some of the changes that you've seen as far as community Medicaid?
Well, I think the biggest one we're going to be dealing with is that, you know, we've always been able to help people immediately because of the current circumstance. There's no look back and no transfer penalty. And with the upcoming change come October 1st, there's going to be a 30-month look back, which is a little over two and a half years. That's huge. We're lucky in that it was proposed for it to be a 60-month look back, the same as nursing home. But a lot of us did some very tireless advocating, and luckily when they voted, it was voted for 30 months. So, you know, the impact is, obviously, if people have been on the fence or thinking, or you know you have some kind of diagnosis that's going to require care, now you have about 4 months to do some planning so that we can get people in and qualified before that October 1st date. And that basically means as of October 1st, anybody who applies for Medicaid, they will be looking at all of your financial transactions for the last 30 months prior to October 1st. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and again, we were trying to tell people that they really need to think about it, because we have people that are like, well, you know, I'm going to wait. They're kind of still on the fence, and we really need to get in and get things taken care of, because it's not immediate. It's not like you apply and all of a sudden you have money for help in the house.
Correct. Well, yes, because that in and of itself, the programs in and of themselves take several months. And right now, because of everything's going on, we're basically at a standstill. So that's just going to have an accumulative effect rolling into October, right? Once we do are able to get things up and running again, there's going to be a huge influx of intakes and assessments and things like that, things that aren't really happening right now. So as we roll into July and August, we're really going to be playing catch up from the last 6 weeks and into the unforeseeable future as to how long we're all going to be. I mean, we know at least through the end of April, right, we're all being told to stay put. So that just delays all of the folks that have been in the system since February. Everything is really getting bottlenecked. And so now we have this rule on top, so we're going to have this influx of people rushing to get things done. So really, if you feel like you need to do any kind of planning whatsoever, now's the time to do it, because we have time. We have time to work with folks, even though it's a little weird to slide things through doors and leave things on, stairwells and things like that. We still have the ability to work with our clients and help them plan. And now is probably more of an important time than ever.
Hey, Debbie.
It is.
Debbie,
yes.
I'm going to try and patch Jay Marie in right now. Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Hello?
Jay Marie, are you there?
Hey, there you are.
Hey, here I am.
She's in.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How nice of you to join us.
We just figured out that Massachusetts is horrible and her phone is terrible. So
that's right. The landline did not work. I had to call in on my cell phone, believe it or not. So.
That's wild, huh?
Try not to move around too much.
Jane Marie is the actual expert on all this. She's the one who's been pouring through and giving us all of the legal technical language of everything. So she can pick up where I left off. There you go. Well, thank you for filling in, Kim. We appreciate it. All right. Everybody have a great Saturday. Thanks, Ben. Nice to see you. Well, nice to talk to you.
I knew this was too good to be true, that I could just walk into my office with a cup of coffee and then call in.
That's nice. Oh, and I guess I should give the number out. If you guys want to give us a call now that we're intact, it's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And when I was talking about the document signings, they've actually gone quite well. The ones in Saratoga that I've done have been hilarious. People come in with their masks and their gloves, and Terry and I have our masks and our gloves. And everyone that comes in goes, you know what, I feel like I should be robbing a bank or something.
That's right.
Debbie and yes. Jay Marie, we have Don from Latham on the line.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. I'm having a communications problem with your office.
How come?
That's a good question. I don't understand it, but we've moved in the middle of November, and we've had some paperwork that had to be done, changes to our will and our trust. And on the 29th, David was supposed to come and bring those papers to us, and as you know, what happened with the virus, it was canceled. But we were never contacted. They were trying to use the old phone number that we had in Saratoga. But I had a phone conference with David 10 days before, and nobody took that phone number.
Well, and things have kind of been moving quickly. So what we can do, if I give you my email address, do you want to shoot it over there, and then we'll make sure that somebody gets back to you on Monday and we get it rescheduled?
Yeah, we can do that. Go ahead.
Okay, it's D as in dog, V as in victory, ERNI, at herzoglaw.com. So it's dverney@herzoglaw.com, and you can shoot me an email, and we'll get it taken care of. I apologize. There's been a lot of moving pieces with all the changes and stuff. We really thought that, you know, we were going to be able to stay open, and then things just kept changing and changing, and I'm sorry if you must have fallen through the cracks. So we'll get it taken care of.
I appreciate it, because we'd like to get the paper signed and notarized. David was good enough to try to come to the house for us to do it. Then the virus hit, and everything got mishmashed. But we haven't heard from your firm since the 27th. We don't know what's going on. We're in limbo.
Well, like I said, shoot me an email, because I don't want you giving out your personal info on the radio.
Yeah,
email, and I'll make sure that somebody gets back to you on Monday.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Not a problem. We got you covered.
Bye now.
Bye-bye now.
All right, and we have Jim from Greenwich on the line.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. I have a question concerning... I have a trust set up through your organization. And with the new regulations now concerning community Medicaid, I have another brokerage account that's not part of the trust that I want to, I'm going to consider swinging over more of that stock account into the trust. Do I put that into the same trust, or does a second trust have to be established?
Well, you can put it in one, Jamie.
Sure. I was going to say that you can put it into the same trust because what they do is they count the look backs differently for different assets that are in the trust. So whatever you already have in the trust, it'll go from the date that you put it in there. And then whatever the new assets are that you add, the look back period will run from the date that you put that in there. And these rules are kind of moving because this law change just came about kind of suddenly, and we're still kind of analyzing it and seeing how it's going to play out. So, but in my opinion, the safest thing to do is if you have extra funds to put in the trust, I would put them in now before the new law applies, just to be safe.
Okay. And therefore, since Schwab is my account executive I would go through them, correct?
Yes, you would go through Schwab, and then you would give them the name of the trust and the EIN number for the trust, and then they could set up a new account and transfer your assets into that new trust account.
Okay. Now, I've asked this question before, and I don't anticipate any change in it, but I'm going to ask it again. Since the trust is 100% stocks, and stocks pay dividends monthly, how does Medicaid look at the dividends that are generated by the stock account in terms of the look-back period?
So those dividends, well, let me back up a second. So the trust says that any income that the trust generates belongs to you. So those
Correct.
Dividends, right. So those dividends, you can take those dividends out of the trust. And then they're not going to be subject to any look-back period.
I see. Now, in my case, I'm leaving the dividends in the trust. So, therefore, they have to be looked at as part of the look-back period.
Yes, the 5 years are starting to run every time that those dividends go back into the trust.
I see.
So the time is running on them. So each month when they go in, they would be protected 5 years from that month. So it's just a different look-back period every time the interest and dividends stay in the trust.
I see. So, but if I take the dividends myself as cash or into another account or something, then there's no look-back period on that.
Well, they're outside the trust, so the look-back period's not running on them, so they wouldn't be protected.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much.
You just have to spend them if you take them out of the trust, okay? Go buy
right,
something.
Yeah. Put them on something good.
Yeah.
In this world, that's not difficult.
Good.
True.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we've got time for callers at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And while we're waiting for you, Jay Marie, Kim was alluding to the fact that you are the go-to person on the new changes to community Medicaid.
Yes, I've looked at those rules, and then, like I said, they did come up kind of suddenly, and it's a drastic change in what's going to happen for community Medicaid, because up until now, we have always said that for community Medicaid, there's no look back. So you could, if you have too much money this month, you could put your assets in a trust next month and be eligible next month. There's no waiting period. So this big change now is that there is a look back for community Medicaid, just like there is for a nursing home application. The only difference is that it's about half. It's a 2.5 year look back for community Medicaid versus a 5 year look back for a nursing home. So again, this means that you have to plan in advance like you do for nursing home, or like we tell everyone, it makes sense to set up a trust now before you need the care, put your house or your assets into the trust. In advance of when you need the care. But it's going to make it really hard for people who haven't planned in advance or who get sick suddenly and have a sudden need. Now they're going to have to wait 2.5 years. And that means they have to pay out of pocket for 2.5 years for home care before they'll be eligible.
Debbie and Jay Marie,
yes.
We do have a caller. We have Keith in Pittstown.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
My question is, my mom passed away, but my dad's still alive, and he's got the house and the trust for me and my two brothers, but he's thinking about selling it because he's getting up in age and going to move in with my brother. Is there any penalties if he sells the house?
Is the house in the trust?
Yes.
Okay, so
what kind of trust is it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I know we always have to sign paperwork every year for something he had for the estate. So if it was, just in case he went into a home, him and my mother, that they wouldn't be able to take it, it'd be in my brother's names.
So if it's an irrevocable trust, which would be what you would be doing to protect the house, it sounds like that's what he wanted to do, protect the house in case he had to go in a nursing home.
Right, right.
Okay, so assuming that it's an irrevocable trust set up like that, if you sell the house, the money will be protected so long as you keep or open up a trust account to put the money into. So in other words, that money can't come out of the trust and go back to him directly or to you or your brothers directly. It has to go into a trust bank account. And then are you the trustee on the trust? Do you know who's the trustee?
Yeah, I think I'm on the trustee, yes.
Okay, so you just have to take the trust document and go to a bank and open up a trust bank account. And then so you can have that ready, so then when you sell the house, you'll take that check from the sale and put it into a trust bank account.
Okay, so there's no penalty then when he's for selling the house then?
There's no penalty. So as long as they're only going to look at when the house was put into the trust, and if that was more than 5 years ago, then when you sell the house, there's no new penalty for that.
Yeah, this is like 15 years ago we set this up, so...
Oh. That's good. So it sounds like it's all protected, and the money would still be protected as long as you put it in a trust bank account.
Okay. That's what I need to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too.
So we have a few minutes for a caller if someone wants to call in at 518-476-5900. And while we're waiting for our next caller... Before we were able to get you on, Jane Marie, we were talking about the new things that we're going to do online as far as the seminars. We're going video. We're going digital.
That's right. Well, I've done several now video document signings. And
right.
I think... And I know you've done one or two also, right? So,
yes. The one the lady told me I need to take a Zoom class. I wasn't real good at it. So I did.
I'm sure you will be by the end of all this, though. Yeah, I feel more comfortable with them now. I've done some just initial consultations with clients on Zoom. We've done the signings on Zoom, so that would be... myself and the client, and then want someone from our office as a witness. So then you see all of our little boxes on the screen there.
I know,
it's kind of cool. And then I go through the documents like I normally would if they were sitting across the table from me. And then when they sign, it's funny, sometimes they point the camera down so you can actually see them signing, and then they point it back up again. and that, you know, satisfies all the requirements. About 2 weeks ago, I think the governor came out with an order that said we could do remote signings for other republics, and we weren't so sure about wills or things like that. But then just this week, the governor signed an executive order that said any of the documents that we do, a will, a health care proxy, and a power of attorney, are all okay to do that virtually.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity for our people that are away to be able to sign documents that can't come in.
Yes.
I actually have a FaceTime document execution next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Yes, I did one this week also because the client wasn't comfortable that she would be able to set up Zoom, although it is rather easy to do, but she said she had FaceTime, so we just set up a FaceTime. I mean, there's many, many different video conferencing options, so you could use anyone that you choose, and... As long as you can see the other person signing, it's going to be legal.
And it's great. It's a great opportunity. After the break, I'm going to go on and talk about the different webinars or Zooms that we're going to set up. And then people mm-hmm. can contact the office to get on the list, and we can either send them a Zoom invite or...
That's right.
You know, it'll be great. It's a great opportunity, and you can do it in your own home. And if you and you can turn off the camera on your end whenever you're on Zoom. I thought that was funny because some people are like, wait, why is your picture not up there? I'm like, it's been a while since I've gotten my hair done. So,
That's right. And it's funny when you do a Zoom signing with clients, I got to meet their dogs, you know, or their other animals. So, yeah, you're seeing a lot. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, the one I did. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said we were talking about getting our hair and nails done, but that's just for the girls, not the boys.
All righty then. Steve from Red Hook is on the line.
Steve.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good. I have an account with a brokerage firm where I have various stocks that I buy and sell on a weekly basis. And they told me that I can't put it into a trust. I was wondering why.
Is it a retirement account or is it a regular account?
A regular account.
You can put it in the trust.
I wonder why they're telling me I can't.
Well, I don't know. We can help you out if you're one of our clients, which I know you are. We can talk to the broker for you. And what a lot of brokers don't understand is when it's in the trust, they think that the trustee has to make all the decisions on the assets in the trust. But what a lot of the brokers that I deal with have the trustee sign a limited power of attorney so that the mom and dad can still buy, sell, trade. They just can't write themselves a check. So that way they still have control over the assets, but again, they just can't write themselves a check.
Okay. Maybe I'll get with them and see if I can get that explained to me further.
And if it's a question, if you give us permission to talk to your broker and give your broker permission to talk to us, I've spoken to lots of brokers, but again, we have to have the permission of the client on both ends before we can talk.
Okay, let me get a more of a clarification on it, and maybe we can hook up with this.
Sounds like a great idea.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Yeah, there's no reason why you can't put stocks in a trust, and, maybe sometimes it just the broker or the financial advisor didn't understand the trust or didn't know what type of trust it was, and that can be resolved just by talking to them or giving them a copy of the trust.
And that's what we always tell people. They really need to have an attorney, an accountant, and a broker or a financial person that all work together. And that way we can make the best decisions for our clients.
That's right. And if everyone works together, then everyone understands what the plan is, because the accountant needs to know how to file tax returns for the trust. So as well as the financial advisor knowing what type of account to set up. So it's best when everyone works together as a team.
Oh, it definitely is.
Speaking of teams, we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Hey, and we're back. This is Debbie Verney.
And this is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And we're going to be here for the next half hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. And I was talking about the new webinars that we're going to be doing. They're going to be Monday through Friday, and they're going to be at 1 in the afternoon. And they're going to be recorded, so if you miss them, right, if you don't get a chance to see them live, they're going to be recorded. So the schedule is going to start on April 20th. April 20th is going to be wills versus trusts. The 21st is going to be community Medicaid, the new changes. The 22nd is going to be a regular seminar. And the 23rd is going to be estate planning myths. So those are ones that are going to be on Zoom. We can set up the meeting. If you're interested in any of those, what you can do is you can shoot us an email at info.herzoglaw.com. We can get you on the list. We'll also be sending out a link in our newsletter so that people can get on these Zoom seminars, and it's going to be great. We'll be virtual. And then again, like I said, it'll be recorded so that if you miss it and you want to go on anytime, you can't sleep at night and you want to hear our wonderful voices, then you can always go on and watch it.
If you want to go to sleep at night, no, I'm teasing.
Unfortunately, it's not like the live ones where you get to have cookies, coffees, and brownies. But
that's right. But you can bring your own food to the Zoom seminar. You can bring, you know, coffee and cookies right from your kitchen. You can actually do it in your kitchen.
That's true.
You have a laptop, you can carry it around the house.
That's it. So if you want to be our next caller, we've had a lot of great callers. The phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And we'd love for you to give us a call and discuss what's on your mind as far as estate planning and state administration, Medicaid planning. And Jay Marie and I have been talking about all the different things that are going on, and it's funny because men don't really realize how important it is that, you know, people aren't being able to get their nails and hair done.
Oh, I know. I'm sure Ben can, you know, sympathize with this.
I am in touch.
I don't get to see your lovely face, Ben.
I am in touch with my feminine side. I do agree that we should be able to get our hair cut. And, you know, my eyebrows, the person that cuts my hair also trims my eyebrows because I start to look like Larry Hagman. The eyebrows kind of go all over the place. So she actually trims them. So now I'm having them, and my wife is plucking them out. So it hurts way more. So we need to get these open. I think they should be essential, like today.
That's right. They had a thing on Facebook that says, you think toilet paper was bad? Wait till like 100 million people are all trying to get their hair and nails done at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and my sons need a haircut. Their hair is getting pretty long, but they don't trust me to cut their hair.
Oh, that,
I'm a better lawyer than I am a hair.
Listen, when I was 14, my mom was cutting my hair in the basement, and all of a sudden I heard zzz, and this big tuft of hair came in front of my eyes. And I said, Mom? And she goes, oh, honey, it'll grow back. And that was the last time I had it done at home.
That's when you hear oops. That's when you know it's a serious issue.
Yep. That's right.
Okay, we'd love for you guys to call 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Hopefully we'll be able to go back to our live seminars in May, but until then, again, we're going to have one on April 20th, Wills versus Trust, 21st, Community Medicaid and Changes, the 22nd, the regular seminar, and the 23rd will be Estate Planning Myths, and we'll be reaching out and putting stuff on our website and Facebook and LinkedIn so that anybody that's interested in attending one of those will be able to attend it, because you may as well become educated while you're at home.
Well, that's right. I mean, people are home. They have more time to think about things, and not necessarily in a bad way, but just in a way that, okay, there's some things I've been meaning to get to that I haven't taken care of. So getting your estate planning documents in line is one of them. And we've been busy, right? I've had a lot of people call who said, I've been thinking about this, about getting my will done, and I've put it off for so long, and now is the time to do it.
It is. And the executions, like I said, the executions of the documents are just absolutely hilarious.
Can we explain what executions are? Because we're not seeing anyone, you know. So.
The document signings, that sounds better, right? We call them executions.
That sounds better. That's
the document
right.
Signings are fun. We call our clients and go over all the documents over the phone so they know exactly what they're signing. They have the documents in front of them. We're going over them on the phone with them. And then when they come in, if they have questions, they can ask quick questions. But most of it's just signing. We have everything all tabbed, sign here, initial here. And like I said, in Saratoga, it's really kind of cool because they all come in, they've got their masks and their gloves, and we have our masks and our gloves. And
and you're meeting them out in the lobby, right? Not in the office. So.
No, not in the office. We meet them out in the lobby. We have like a little entryway in Saratoga right at the bottom of the stairs. And they stand there. We stand 10 feet back and watch them sign their documents.
Watch them sign, right?
Yeah, but the people
are hilarious.
We've
been doing that in the parking lot also. People have pulled up where they're in a car. We go out, we stand, we give them the documents, we stand 6 feet away, watch them sign. I did one when it was nicer weather, just on the bench in front of the building. And I thought it was funny because I know that we're supposed to social distance, right, 6 feet from each other. Mm-hmm. But this was a married couple, a husband and wife, and they were standing 6 feet away from each other. And when they sat on the bench, they sat on opposite ends of the bench.
I mean, it's like, what, they don't get back in the same car?
I didn't see if they came in the same car. That would be interesting. So all of us were standing 6 feet apart. We had a giant circle outside.
Yeah, so we've been calling our clients to see if they want to come in and still sign their documents. Some people, you know, have kind of pushed it off till May, and I'm still getting calls of people that want their documents done now. I actually got a call from a friend of mine who I went to law school with, and she's in Syracuse, and she... her firm doesn't do estate planning. They're all working remotely. And she's like, I need my documents done. I need them done now. And I'm like, fine. We'll draft the documents. Mm-hmm. I'll send them out to you. We'll do them by Zoom. So
that's right.
You know, that way she can get her documents done. Because it's kind of scary out there. People are starting to think about, you know, what ifs. And when you have a lot of time on your hands, you tend to do that. So we want to help you guys out
and
if you need to get your documents
done. Clients need to get healthcare proxies and powers of attorney done because even if you're, you know, sick, not able to handle things for a while. So number one, you really want a healthcare proxy so someone can make medical decisions for you. And then number two, you want a power of attorney so someone can pay the bills and make sure things don't get shut down. And you need a power of attorney to give someone the power to do that. So those are also documents we can do by Zoom, right, by FaceTime, by Skype, whatever you have, or in the parking lot or the lobby of the Saratoga office.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't ever think that I would be doing this. You know, when I went to law school, this wasn't exactly what, you know, they taught you how to do.
No, that's right. We've had to be very creative in the past 3 weeks, and we've adapted. We're doing a lot of remote signings, and it's going well.
It is. And if you guys want to call us, again, it's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. I've gotten calls this week for people that are actually in assisted living or enhanced that really need to move into a nursing home. And, you know, the families, it's very, very difficult for the assisted living to be able to deal with the clients if they actually have gotten to the point that they need to move to a nursing home, because a lot of the nursing homes are on lockdown and they're not taking new admissions.
That's right. So I've gotten some calls like that too. So it's difficult and it's hard to get people moved or placed right now. Seems like most people kind of have to stay where they are and somehow work it out. There's also home care clients who are receiving home care who maybe their home health aide can't come in and they have to find other home health aides. So that can be a little bit tough also. But if you're experiencing any of those difficulties, you can call us. We have, as you know, our social worker on staff, Kim Hans, who can also help with some of these questions. And we can help you kind of get through this period.
Yeah, it's one of those things where everybody's kind of going through this all at the same time. Just different levels. And if you're thinking about the fact that the person may have to move into a nursing home, that they're going to need chronic care, while you have some time, this would be the time to start getting the documents together for the chronic care Medicaid app, and we could send out the list to you so you could start gathering everything up so we're ready to move and ready to get the person on Medicaid in place as soon as everything kind of loosens up, which will hopefully be the beginning of May.
Yep, that's right. And same thing for community Medicaid apps. Is you can go ahead and get things in place so it can be approved, and then you can start looking for people to work for you probably come May. You know, I had a client call whose mom is in the nursing home, and they want to bring her home. So we're going to start to work on that application because they think she can be taken care of better at home. And they're going to start to look for people to work for them, but we want to be ready to go when they find someone.
Oh, that's a great idea. That planning ahead is a great idea. I had clients that we did powers of attorney for. We went out to the rehab and did powers of attorney at that point in time. And then since then, Dad actually ended up in the hospital and had to have surgery. And I got an email from the daughter, and she's like, you know, we want to go ahead and finish up the documents. And so she's like, so the power of attorney's done, so I can sign all of Dad's documents for him, right? And I'm like, no.
That's right.
You know, you can, you can't sign a will, and you can't sign a healthcare proxy.
You right? can't sign those by power of attorney, no.
No, not by power of attorney. She can sign the deed. She can sign the trust. But she can't sign the will, and she can't sign the healthcare proxy. And a lot of people don't understand why, and I always try to explain to them when they're doing a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney that whenever, you know, healthcare person can't make financial decisions and a financial person can't make healthcare decisions, there's a dividing line there. So you need to make sure that you have both.
Yes, that's right. It's really, you need to have both because... you know, both are going to come up. You're going to need both. Even if it's a billing quest, you know, health insurance billing, I've seen some companies want the healthcare proxy and some want the power of attorney because that's kind of sort of in the middle there, right? It involves your healthcare and it involves money. So that's just one example, but you definitely need to have both documents done.
Well, and our documents both have HIPAA language in them, too, the power of attorney and the healthcare proxy. So I think that really helps a lot, too, when you're trying to deal with either healthcare providers or insurance companies or anything like that. You just need to have the correct language so that they'll speak to the person so that you can get things moving forward.
That's correct. Although right now, the wait times for any of these phone calls are probably to a health insurance company a couple hours long, so... so maybe you'll have to wait a little bit to try and take care of those things.
True.
That's right. But again, we can offer you consultations online. We could do a phone consultation, which we have done before, but we've also started doing video consultations. So, you know, phone consultation is great, but sometimes it's just better to see the person face-to-face and the conversation can be more productive that way. You get to see what their kitchen looks like or what, wherever they're sitting.
And the Zoom signing I did, we actually had the, we were in the Saratoga office. The mom and dad were in Florida, and the daughter was actually in Saratoga. But we were all on the Zoom meeting signing documents. It was hilarious because the daughter kept, like, the mom and dad would say something, and then the daughter would yell at them. And whenever you're on the Zoom, it, like, focuses in on whoever's talking.
On the person who's talking. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we were, so Terry and I were just sitting there watching it go back and forth. It was like a tennis match. It's like,
Right. One screen, one little box blows up, and the other box.
And then if a dog starts barking, I've had that too. It's like when you're on the Zoom meeting and the dog starts barking, then it's focused in on the people, and the people don't realize it because they're not talking. But the noise of the dog is making the.
So, we're learning all these things about Zoom. So
I know it's fun. It's kind of fun. It's great that we're able to do this, and I think it's going to be great that we're going to be able to do the seminars via Zoom. And Dave is totally psyched. He's totally psyched.
Yeah.
He already did one, right? He just did one that
he did one for was an assisted living facility,
yeah,
I believe.
Assisted living, I think, yeah, or senior apartments, wasn't it?
Oh, senior apartments. That's right.
Yeah, so he's already done one, and he really, really liked it. And Dave also had an article in the Saratoga Business Journal, and it's a great article about estate planning in COVID. You know what I mean? It's like, what have you got to think about if, you know, the situations now? We've had a lot of people that have had loved ones that passed, and they're like, what do I do?
That's right. So a lot of those are tough situations because I've had a couple of those calls because the courts are closed right now. They're only open for emergency applications. So if you need to go through probate, you know, unless it's an emergency, you have to wait. But when I've spoken to clients, we're, again, like with Medicaid apps, we're getting everything ready. We're putting it together. And we have it. We actually have a stack of things in the office to file once the courts are open. We're going to swamp the courts with some of our papers. But if it's something where you can't wait and you think it's an emergency that you need, it can either be an estate that needs to get access to funds, that's an emergency, or it could be an emergency guardianship. In those cases, you can get to the court and can get the relief that you need.
Yeah, especially the guardianships. I mean, that is something that is very, very important. But also, and this is why we try to get people to plan their estates correctly, if you've got a business, right? So mm-hmm. you've got someone that has a business and they pass away and they're the only ones that can sign on the business checking account.
Right.
Right? So
that's right.
What's
so
gonna
if
happen?
Someone else could sign. So that would be, in my opinion, an emergency. So you could do an application for a temporary executor or a preliminary executor.
Preliminary, yeah.
Until the court, right, can have the full hearing going on. And then with the guardianships, so the guardianships is if you haven't done your healthcare proxy or your power of attorney, and then you're sick, and then no one can take care of things for you. So a guardianship, normally it takes 30 days out before the court schedules a hearing. But if we have an emergency, we could again ask for a temporary guardian to do things right away. So there is relief if you don't have the documents in place, but you do need someone to handle things very quickly.
Right, and we're available by phone or by Zoom or by email, and we'd love to help you out if you have any issues. And if you want to contact us directly, you can email us or you can go on our website, and there's a direct link to each of our email addresses on our website. Our website is www.herzoglaw.com, and you can click on the attorney and you can email us individually, or there's a info@herzoglaw.com that goes to a general mailbox that anyone can access. And usually Stacy's the one that checks that. But Stacy's been really busy scheduling appointments, a lot of phone appointments, a lot of current clients that just want to go over their documents and make sure that everything's the way it's supposed to be with the changes in the values of their accounts. I've had people that have called me and said, I think I need to change some of those specific bequests in my documents because I may not have enough to cover them, and I want to make sure that the right people get the money.
Yeah, that's right. So you can pull out your documents, see what you have in there. I mean, we always tell you to check your documents every couple of years to make sure they're good. I had a client call because when they pulled out their documents, they really did not get along with their power of attorney and healthcare proxy anymore. So they needed to put someone new in, and they wanted to get it done very quickly. So we're going to do that by a Zoom signing.
Debbie and Jane Marie. Sorry. I thought you were stopping. I apologize. We have on the line Nancy from Poughkeepsie.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Can a Roth IRA be put into a irrevocable family trust? And if not, why not?
So it's because it's a retirement account, a trust can't own a retirement account, so you can't put it into a trust as an IRA. The only way you could do that would be to liquidate it, you know, take it out of the IRA status and then put it into the trust. But you wouldn't necessarily want to do that because then you're going to lose all the tax deferrals that you have.
Right, yeah. So, in other words, any kind of annuity cannot be put into a trust.
So only IRAs or Roth IRAs or they're called qualified retirement plans.
Right.
Can't be owned by a trust.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have, you can have an annuity that's not an IRA. You could just have an annuity that you transferred money to just as an investment, and that type of an annuity can be owned by a trust. But if it's specifically a retirement type annuity, an IRA or a Roth IRA, those can't go in the trust.
All right. Okay. I kind of thought so. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
You know, the nice thing that, nice, bad, whatever thing about retirement accounts is if someone does have to go into a nursing home, that they treat them as income rather than an asset. So the
nursing home
is going to be able to get your required minimum distributions, but they're not going to be able to get the principal that's in the IRA. But the Roth, that's the question I always get from people on Roths. The question is, well, I don't have to take RMDs from Roths. What about Roths?
Yeah, so Roths, I mean, it's still sort of uncertain how they're going to be handled. So some cases we've handled it by, even though you're not required to take minimum distributions, to have you start taking distributions to exempt it. So that seems to work to exempt the Roth IRA. Or the other option would be to, when you'd have to do this in advance, right? And that would be to liquidate it and put it in your trust. But that would have to be done before, at least 5 years before you need the care.
Yes. And that's the whole thing, that five-year look back. As I had a client the other day call me and called it the five-year clawback. That was a great visual, right? Instead of looking back, clawback.
I picture a giant lobster claw, but maybe that's because I'm from Massachusetts.
Could be. Yeah, I you know, that's not the visual I had, but that's okay. So we may
lobster.
Have time for...
You can't say the R on the end. Lobster.
Lobster? Lobster. Okay. So we got time for one more caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And we would love for you guys to give us a call. And whenever we were talking earlier, again, we are going to have the Zoom webinars on April 20th. Wills versus Trust, 21st, Community Medicaid and the Changes, the 22nd, the regular seminar, and the 23rd, Estate Planning Myths. And those are going to be fun. It'll be our first kind of try at these. So, you know, you have to bear with us.
There was some learning curve here, but I think we're all getting better at the Zoom and type of calls and meetings. So it's going to go well. And those webinars are at 1 o'clock, right, Debbie?
Yeah, 1 o'clock. And again, they're going to be recorded. And we're going to put a link on our website. So if you miss them, you can always log on and watch them at your leisure. And again, we're in the offices. Well, we're remote, but we can answer questions. We can answer emails. We would love for you guys to give us a call and talk about your documents or talk about your plans if you don't have any documents. We can also go over documents that you already have, maybe from another attorney, to tell you whether they're good, bad, or ugly. You could email them over to us. We can review them and then set up a phone call.
Right. And so for those of you who maybe caught the show late, in the first half hour, we were talking about this big change in the rules for community Medicaid. And that is something that we will talk about at those seminars. And in short, as many people are familiar, that there's a five-year look back in terms of transferring assets in terms of a nursing home application. Whereas community Medicaid, which is where you get care in your home, there has not been a look-back period previously. You could set up a trust today, put all your money in the trust today, and then you could get care at home next month, community Medicaid next month. Well, when the governor passed the budget just about a week ago, there was a significant change to that, where there's now a 2.5-year look-back period for community Medicaid applications. So now all those community Medicaid applications, if you have excess funds, you're not going to be eligible immediately. You have to transfer those funds out of your name, and then you're going to have to wait. So that is a huge change. Trusts do still work for that, to protect your assets. So the sooner you get that trust set up, you put your assets into the trust, you start the time period. So if it's 2.5 years down the road, then you can get community Medicaid.
Debbie and Jay Marie, we have a caller on the line, Elizabeth in Schenectady.
Hey, Elizabeth. Good morning. I'm confused now with this new Medicaid situation. I have an irrevocable trust with you for about 13 years now, and everything's in there. The only thing I have a bank account. That's the only money I've got, and I use that to live on along with my Social Security and, you know, retirement stuff. Should I take some of that money and put it in a trust? Put in the trust, but I need that. You know, it's maybe about $90,000. That's all I've got to my name. Not much.
Right. That's always a tough question, because when you do apply for Medicaid, you can only have about $15,000 in your name, right?
What about my Medicaid trust?
Right. Well, no, your Medicaid trust can have any amount of money. So the money that you keep out of the trust should be money that you're using to live on, okay?
Yeah.
right? And the money that you put in the trust is money that you kind of put aside that you don't need day to day, and it can be protected.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying, should I put some of that cash into the trust? I have a trust bank account, too.
If you're not using all of that cash currently, which it sounds like you're not because it's accumulated, I would recommend putting some of that money into the trust. Maybe not all of it, maybe half of it. You could, whatever you feel comfortable. Now, remember, if you put it in the trust and you do need the money back, you can do a partial revocation of an irrevocable trust and you can get back some of the money. So okay. When you do put it in the trust, you're not losing access to it completely.
Right, right.
So it's better to put some in the trust.
I was hoping that, you know, if I have to go on Medicaid or home, I'd have home care, which you have, you know.
Right.
You have that program, so I wouldn't have to go into a nursing home, but that still applies in Medicaid, doesn't it, with funds?
It does, so I would definitely put some more of that money into the trust to get you closer to being eligible for Medicaid.
Would I put it into a trust bank account?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that then. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Just make sure you keep good records. It's all about keeping good records.
Oh, yeah, I got all those bank account stuff, a whole booklet of them, 10 years or so. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All these great questions today.
Yeah, very good questions. People are happy to call into the show. I think we only missed 1 week, right? And then we were back on the air.
Yeah, we only missed 1 week, and then we were back on the air because Ben worked it out for us so that we could still call in and be on the air.
Woohoo!
Great job, Ben.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Seems like we'll be this way, at least for a couple more weeks, right?
At least for a couple more weeks.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And now we know how we can call in from Massachusetts, right?
Yes, now I know. So I use my cell phone. Next time I'll be all ready in the beginning.
Well, it's good that we had Kim here. It was kind of wild when I pulled in this morning to the Saratoga office. I was like, wow, Kim's here. I haven't seen her in weeks.
I know. We haven't seen each other in a long time, so.
No. That's the end of it, sounds like. So have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.